Thanks very much, and as Robert said, we are the last presentation before lunch, so we'll try and move this along. I'm sure a lot of what we're going to be covering is going to be very familiar to you. I'm hoping that we can impart maybe just some tips that we've run across here and there. And for those of you that aren't new to pinball, I'm hoping that we can help out quite a bit. What we wanted to do was basically just go over the basics of how we look at pinball restoration for, say, the first-time pinball buyer, how to handle foreign pinball machines that you may have bought and find that they've got some unique challenges. There. We do have a number of photos in this presentation, and just due to the layout of the room, I'm sure that the guys in the back won't be able to see the details on the photos. So if you're interested, I am going to load this presentation up onto my website at the end of the show. So if you want, you can download it from my website, which is mwpinball.com. So what I'd like to start with is just the really basics. What are the tools that are needed to start restoration on your first pinball machine? It's basically all the common mechanical tools that you would need: wrenches, pliers, screwdrivers. One thing that you might not have that is very useful is a little magnetic tool. I can't count the number of times that I've lost a little screw in the back of the play field and had to fish it out with a magnetic tool. Some of the other things for those who are more mechanically oriented and aren't electrically experienced like myself: the fuse puller and the emery board to clean the contacts on the switches. Here I list some of the basic cleaners that we use and what their common uses are. The big one right at the top, Novus number 2, we use that quite a bit for polishing the play field, polishing the plastics. It does a great job of really getting rid of a lot of the dirt and the minor scratches. There are three levels of Novus. Novus 1 is a good for a light polish. Novus 2 is more general purpose. And Novus 3 is much heavier, can be used to remove heavy scratches out of the clear plastic ramps. Some of the others here are pretty common. The Windex, rubbing alcohol, you get at a CVS or a Walgreens. The Carnauba wax is an automotive wax. Use that on the play field and on the cabinet to keep the play field smooth and improve ball flow. The Lightning Rust Remover is great for removing rust from legs, particularly if you've bought a game that's been around for a while and the legs look pretty crummy, but you really like the look of the game itself, you just want to clean it up. You basically just drop the legs into the Lightning Rust Remover. And then the Goo Gone Goof Off is great for getting some of the adhesive off of the cabinet. We've got a picture here. There's like a before and after on the Goo Gone. This is the front of a cabinet, and what we have here, we have the state stickers, the state gaming, which are essentially made in such a way as that they are difficult to remove. The whole idea is to make it hard to remove. They break up, there's a little bit of foil on the back, it tends to stick to the game, so even if you can clear the plastic part of the sticker, you've got all this adhesive and junk. And that's about 5 minutes worth of work with Goo Gone. It just basically took the remnants of those stickers right off. Goo Gone is great to use on the cabinet, on wood, maybe on metal. Do not use it on plastic. So. Adhesives. We use a lot of adhesives. We put back together a lot of pieces that become broken over time. Wood glue for gluing the cabinets. And we have some pictures later on of work that we've done on cabinets. Over time, the cabinets will come apart, especially if the machine hasn't been handled well or if it's been exposed to a climate where the humidity cycles up and down. You'll end up with the cabinet splitting along the seams, the bottom dropping out. Any number of things could occur. The wood glue is great. Gorilla glue is also very good for holding wood parts together. But with the Gorilla glue, you have to use clamps because the Gorilla glue expands to fill quite a bit, and it will actually push the parts away from each other if you don't have them clamped. I think everything else on there is pretty standard. The weather stripping, we use the weather stripping actually as a replacement for the padding behind stand-up targets. So you just cut a little piece of weather stripping and take the adhesive off the back and stick it up. That keeps that target from hammering too hard against the back.
Is the spongy weather stripping?
Yes, the spongy weather stripping. Probably the best thing that I ever paid for in terms of the pinball business was a parts tumbler, which was never intended for the pinball business. This was actually a parts tumbler for shell casings, for ammunition. And we loaded up about halfway full with crushed walnut shells, and you pour in either a little bit of Novus 3 or some Flitz metal polish, and you drop in anything. I've dropped in leg bolts, screws, nuts, the little one-way gates, anything that's got rust or discoloration on it, and you just let that sucker run. And it's on the floor in my garage, I turn it on, I come back a couple days later, the parts that I pull out of there look brand new. They're just beautiful. The part tumbler itself is not very expensive. It might be around $40. The material that you're using in there, which is the crushed walnut, you can buy online in 2-pound bags. There's a lighter material as well, which is a crushed corn husk, which is okay for brass, but I found doesn't really work very well for the steel parts. Mylar, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Mylar. Mylar is essentially a heavy plastic, and it's used to protect play fields. There are play fields that come essentially from the factory with a sheet of Mylar on them. You can also find that the Mylar has been applied by somebody later on. What this picture is supposed to show, which is basically a half moon in front of the slingshot there, which is a piece of Mylar that's been applied to the play field. The Mylar is great at protecting the play field from wear, from ball scratches. The problem is that over time, the Mylar itself, if it's used over a plastic insert, can create a bubble where air got in underneath. And so if you need to remove it, Pat will be discussing a technique later on for removing the Mylar. If this is your first game, or if it's a brand new game and you want to protect it from a lot of wear, you can put down the Mylar yourself. Put down the half moons in front of the slingshots. Put down the quarter-size drops wherever it's coming off of a ramp or a wire form. I also use it on plastic ramps. If I've got a clear plastic ramp that's has a significant crack or it's practically broken, I will actually crazy glue the two pieces together and then use Mylar across on both sides of the plastic to keep it continuous so it doesn't break again. This is a great shot of a Playboy that we worked on. What you're seeing on the right-hand side is essentially what it looked like after we cleaned it with Novus 2. So there was a tremendous amount of dirt and dried wax, that just because the game had been in operation for such a long time and hadn't been maintained. But in terms of cleaning up a game, we really just, you start with the Novus 2 or even an isopropyl alcohol, something without a lot of water. Because the play field is wood, you don't want to use anything with a lot of water. You don't want standing water left on the play field. It will soak in and it will warp it a little bit. So to manage that, you use an isopropyl alcohol, which is either 70% or 90% alcohol. Get a lot of the dirt off. Then you go at it with Novus 2. You can get rid of a lot of the wax, as you see here. And then once it's all cleaned, remove the Novus and put down a layer of fresh carnauba wax. And then once it's been waxed, then you apply the Mylar. So that way if the Mylar does start to unseat itself or come up in a corner, it's easier to pull it back off. Just some basics for cabinet care. Again, we talked about, or I mentioned how to repair them. The picture on the top is what the side of the cabinet should look like. This is a fishtails. Picture on the bottom is the side of a cabinet that's been exposed to the sun for a little too long. The cabinet artwork will fade quite a bit. So if you have a game, you want to protect it, keep it out of direct sunlight. If the side of the cabinet is actually a decal that's been applied as opposed to paint, you can use felt padding between the cabinet and the legs itself, so that when you put the legs on the cabinet, the legs don't basically force the decal up off the side of the cabinet.
Want to hear a trick for that?
Yeah.
If you don't have a felt and it is a decal cabinet opposed to a silk screen cabinet, you can run a razor blade around the outline of the leg, and that way if the leg does shift and you're not using felt, it'll only shift that little piece right there and not the whole cabinet side decal.
For those who didn't hear it, the suggestion was to, if it's a decal on the side of the cabinet, run a razor along the outline of the leg to basically separate that piece of the decal from the decal on the side of the cabinet itself, so that if it does start to creep with the weight of the game on the leg, only that piece of the decal will move. The rest of the decal will stay in place. Thanks. I had no pictures for this one, but essentially, when you get the game, one of the first things you want to do, open up the back box, take a look at it. It's likely that in any sort of transit, it's possible that the connectors will have come a little loose. So just push on all the connectors. Make sure the connectors are tight. Check the batteries and replace those batteries, ideally once a year. You want to get in and replace the battery. I just went out and restored a game 2 weeks ago that the game itself was in great shape. There was a little bit of damage on the play field. The cabinet was in good shape. I finished the work. I opened up the back box to check the batteries, and it was from the late 90s. Yeah, there was basically the original batteries that were still in the game. So there was corrosion all along the battery holder, and it started to come along to the board. So you really want to, just like every year you change the batteries in your fire alarm, every year change the batteries in your pinball games. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing here. Change the batteries with the game on so that you don't lose any of the stored values, high scores, any of the settings. I'm going to switch over now to Pat. Pat's going to tell you about some of the things to look for when you buy a game from overseas.
Thanks, Rich.
How many people buy foreign pinball machines from overseas? Okay, decent number. Well, most of the time when games are, at this point, 10, 15 years old, the connector is here, which is J115, usually gets pretty charred. So the best way to repair it is to actually put in a new connector, and you can get these parts from DigiCube. The other connectors that go bad is J120 and J121. This is from a Williams WPC board set. This, of course, is the female connector. And what you should do is you should actually replace the male and the female side. And again, all these connectors are available at DigiKey. A lot of times in the foreign games, and also games of the older vintage, this is from a 1978 Bally Playboy, the fuse holders get really corroded. And sometimes what actually happens is the fuse holders, they don't hold the fuse snugly in place because they're cracked. Go to the next slide real quick. Like, this is from a Data East game. So one edge of it is actually completely off. And on the Williams games, they're actually embedded in the gray plastic, so they're a little more durable and beefier. So it's actually really important to check that. And if the connectors are still good, if you take a pair of needle-nose pliers, you can actually gently squeeze them together to increase the tension on the fuse. But most of the time, the most important thing to do is when you get a foreign game is to check all the fuses, because if they're soldered or hardwired in place, don't even turn it on. You should replace that before turning the game on. This is a plug that's next to the transformer, and the jump ring for converting back to a 120 volts is pins 2 and 3 and 8 and 9. And a lot of times, I've actually had a few games where the transformer got really, really hot. And this was actually with the proper conversion. And I'm like, what's going on? So what had happened was someone actually pushed the pins out and didn't have the proper crimp tool. So they actually used pliers to actually gently squeeze the connector on the bare wire, and it wasn't a very good connection. So what would happen is one side of the transformer would run so hot because there was so much resistance, they would actually short one side of the transformer out, and then in that case it would actually blow the inline fuse. Another thing to do is actually to change the 5 amp to an 8 amp fuse when you convert it to 120 volts.
On this era of WPC game, when I get import games in, and I always check the voltages to see if, you know, because sometimes they change them overseas and sometimes they don't. I always look, this is a great picture, that top one.
Okay.
It's a butterfly. Always look for the butterfly. You see the two wings, the right wing, the left wing, and then the two antenna.
Right.
That means 120 volt.
Okay.
The butterfly configuration.
Okay.
You know, so if it doesn't look like a butterfly, it's some other voltage.
Okay.
So,
thanks, Dave.
I know it's goofy, but it's just a visual thing.
And I usually just go by like two columns,
right?
First and the second, first and third column. Okay. normally, the games that are not newer than 92, they actually have an IEC detachable pewter power cord. So that just makes it simple. You throw the old cord out, and you buy a new cord, and you just plug it in. But the older games, they didn't have a detachable power cord. So what you do is you actually cut away the old 220 plug, and you strip some of the wiring away, and you can actually get these three-prong plugs at any Ace or True Value hardware store. And the green wire goes into the green spade lug, the white wire, sometimes it's blue, goes to the silver, and then the brown or the black wire goes into the brass lug. No, it's fine. How many people have actually opened up a play field and an entire side is basically just dropped? Okay. That happens a lot in shipping, especially when you're working on a game, and you're shopping it out, adjusting switches, and you're basically lifting up the play field 20, 30 times. It's better than, you know, benching weights. But essentially, you've got these nuts here, and they come loose. And if that nut actually falls out of that insert, out of that hole, that's the only part that's actually holding the play field in place. So you can actually take a, I use a flathead screwdriver, and you push it in between the slit there, and just turn it clockwise, and it just tightens it right up. Another thing to look for is inside the cabinet, again, is a hex nut. And this is actually the outside, which is the hinge area. And that should also be tightened.
For the back box.
For the back box, correct. A lot of times, especially games have been routed a lot, the operators move them from location to location. So what happens is, from doing that, they're actually wearing out the threads on the inside to where the legs bolt into the cabinet. And I would say a good 65, 70% of the time, if you have a re-thread tool, you can actually clean up the holes enough to actually reuse the backing plate. If it's really, really bad, then you basically need to change out the plate, because they're too badly stripped at that point.
Pat, what's really happening here is that the operators are reusing bad bolts. Bolts that have matched threads, and then those in turn ruin the base plates. So if you use new bolts and the rehashing tool, like you use the retapping tool, like you said, that usually solves the problem, just like you said in most cases. But yeah, I always look at the bolts, and you see like the threads are just like flat. And anytime you put one of those into a good nut, it just
you'll even ruin the new plate.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's so Clay brought up a really good point. You should always check the bolts if you don't want to buy new bolts. If the threads are misthreaded or if they're flattened out, you should just throw the bolts away and just buy new ones.
And if you're really cheap, you can buy, like you've got a tap and a tap handle.
Use a die.
You can use a die and redo the bolts. but that's really unfortunate.
As Rich was talking about earlier about, cabinet reconstruction, this is on a Star Trek Next Gen where the edges here, the corners, were starting to separate. So this picture shows the clamping on what we do to basically put it back together. What I normally do is I'll take a rubber mallet and I'll actually tap it to actually spread it out a little further apart. And then you can drip the glue into each of the corners. And then if you use Gorilla Glue, you have about a good 15, 20 minutes of work time before it starts foaming up and expanding. So again, these clamps are available at any Ace or True Value store. And you want to clamp the left and right sides. And this large clamp here, the front to back, that's essentially a pipe clamp. And the cabinets are about 46, 48 inches long. So you want to get a clamp that's long enough so you can basically do the full length. And then here is basically a piece of plywood. And what you want to do is you want to put a piece of heavy cardboard behind the plywood because the glue will actually start to ooze out. That way the board doesn't stick to your game because it's a lot easier to get the little bits of debris of the glue oozing out off of the cabinet on the plywood instead of the whole piece of wood itself. And you want to use a large enough piece of wood so that when the clamps are tightened down, you don't get an impression and ruin the cabinet.
Yeah, on that Gorilla Glue, in theory, you're supposed to wet both pieces of wood before you do it together. But in fact, all that does is it makes it foam. It's an expansion glue, so it expands. And what Pat said with the cardboard's a really good thing because what it'll do is it'll expand out of the cracks and come to the part of the cabinets that you'll see. So what I'll usually do for that piece of wood is I'll take shipping tape and wrap it around the piece of wood because that Gorilla Glue doesn't stick to shipping tape.
Oh, okay.
And then it leaves kind of this flat surface that you can chip away when you're all done. Because that Gorilla Glue is great. If you want to, if you really got to fill gaps, you take Gorilla Glue and sawdust and water and mix it into a glue, and then like a goo, like almost like a body filler, and you can fill cracks and stuff. It dries hard as freaking wedding dick. It's unbelievable. It's really good stuff.
And it's great because it's so easy to chip away. And for the rest of the stuff, you can just take some alcohol and wipe it down, and it just disappears.
Right.
And
sort of like.
Yeah, you did that.
Come back at 4 o'clock.
Which part did you miss? what Clay was saying, that instead of using cardboard, which I use, his suggestion is you actually take that piece of plywood and you wrap it with shipping tape. So it's plasticky on both sides. That way when you put the plywood on, and you start putting the clamps together and start cinching it really tight, the glue oozing and expanding goes on the back side of the plasticky plywood, because now you've got shipping tape on there. That way, it's a lot easier and cleaner to remove than my method.
Just use freezer paper.
I'm sorry?
Wax freezer paper?
Yeah, that'll work too, but you know, I mean, everybody's got shipping tape. I like the clear shipping tape opposed to the brown, but
One other thing about the cabinet work here, when you're using that 2x4 and you're clamping it down, especially if you're doing a long edge of the cabinet, you don't want the long flat edge of the 2x4 up against the cabinet, because then you're clamping only at, say, one or two or three points along, and the Gorilla Glue could force the wood to kind of expand around that. What you want to do is you want to position the wood so that the short edge is up against the cabinet and the pressure is running all the way through the length of the board, because the board is much less likely to actually deform along that edge. Thanks, Scratch. This is general maintenance. Rich already talked about, you know, the previous stuff in terms of waxing, cleaning the play field. Depending on how many games you have in your collection, obviously if it's just one or two and you have a large family, they're going to get played quite a bit. I usually like to clean my play fields about once every 500 plays or so, and that's just like a general Novus 2 with some wax on it. Again, the annual maintenance, I like to change my balls on the game about once every, you know, 1,500 plays or 1,000 plays. Again, some people change them a lot more often than that. It's good to just, you know, go around the play field and torque down the screws, especially going into like a center ramp, which is a shot that's, you know, very popular when you're playing a game. If a fuse blows, sometimes it's the game just using way too much amperage at that point. So when you replace it, just be careful to look out for it to see if it blows again. Rubber bands, change them when they're, you know, getting frail or if they're really dirty. Alcohol is actually really good at cleaning white rubber bands if it's starting to get like a little bit dingy or a little bit gray. And switch adjustment. A lot of times when you're playing a game, if a ball is hitting a switch and it's a really wacky shot, it might bend it. Again, just use Anita Knowles pliers, or from Pinball Resource, you get the handy dandy little switch bending tool. Those are really handy. Do you want to talk about flipper adjustment or rebuild at all, Rich? How much time do we have? Okay.
Pat, do you want some more stupid comments?
Sure.
Okay, when I go over to friends' houses, because I'm kind of an anal prick, and I see that their white rubber is dirty, I always kind of laugh to myself, because if you keep white rubber clean, it'll effectively, and basically out of the sun, it'll effectively last forever. And for me, I look at my games, and as soon as I see any black marks on them, what I do is I go down to the party store, which we've got in Michigan all over the places. You know, they sell beer and cigarettes and, you know, lotto tickets. And I buy a little can of lighter fluid, which is basically naphtha. And I just take a paper towel and I squirt it. And it comes in a real nice little metal can with a little, reciprocal top that retracts. And I spray it on a paper towel and I just wipe down my rubber. I can wipe down all the rubber in a game in about, I don't know, less than 30 seconds. And it'll take all the dirt off. I mean, this isopropyl alcohol on rubber, it's okay, but Pat, man, that's for pussies. No, the naphtha's really good. It won't deteriorate any of the plastic parts, and it takes the dirt off a lot quicker than using alcohol. So I can do a whole game literally in 30 seconds that's been, you know, relatively recently shopped. And if I do that to my games, and I do it like every 100 plays maybe, and it, because it only takes 30 seconds, it really keeps them looking really, really fresh, really, really fresh. So, you know, lighter fluid is cheap, and it lights on fire. It's also a bonus. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Fire is cool, right?
Yeah, I like it.
For anyone who didn't know, that's Clay. He's got a wonderful repair guide on the Marvin website. We'll have that on a later slide as well.
you want to go ahead and talk about Flipper?
One other thing is always look for nuts and stuff in the bottom of the gate, because that nut fell from somewhere, and most likely it's some loose post that's going to egg out the hole. So I always look in the bottom of the gate, and I'm like, well, this thing, where did the hole fell out from here?
And in regards to that, it's really common sometimes for actually the T-nuts, which are underneath the play field, for them to drop out as well. And if that happens, your post is basically going to be loose, and it'll move a good 16th or an eighth of an inch, which will in turn enlarge the diameter of that plywood surface as well. I guess we can talk about the flipper adjustment rebuild. Most of you probably know how to adjust flippers and whatnot. What I like to do on a lot of my personal games and games that I really want to spend a lot of time on is the flipper links and the coil stops are actually made in mass quantities. So the deviation of them is quite a bit sometimes. And obviously when the flipper is at the full extension or when it's all the way down, you'll notice that sometimes there's a mismatch in level. So you can actually take a dial indicator or a gauge and actually measure them to a couple thousandths of an inch. And that way you can take, say, 20, 30 coil stops and measure them and basically choose the two that are the most symmetrical and the same and the lengths. And that way your flippers will be more consistent and very close together. Any comments, Clay?
That's sick. That's sick.
Bring it over.
Okay, that's a sophisticated, high-end pack way of doing it. This is the unsophisticated, low-end way of doing it. I put the thing all together. I don't tighten the paw on the flipper bats. And then I basically position them where I want the flippers, and then I check them in full extension right and left. If they're mismatched, I take a pair of channel locks, and I put it on the resting point for the flipper paw, or not the flipper paw, but the link. The link actually rests on a piece of the mechanism that holds the whole flipper carcass to the bottom of the playfield, and you can actually take channel locks and bend that piece up or back to equalize the right and left side. And I like 2.25 inches of travel for the flipper tip. So from neutral position to fully extended, 2.25 inches at the tip. That's just what I like. So other people may like more of a V, because if you got a really heavy V, you can catch the ball really easy. It's good for girls. But for us men players, 2.25 inches is great.
2.25 is
it? Thanks, Faye. That's okay. And then the other thing that I don't know if a lot of people realize is that below the flipper, there's sometimes the two dimples that's got the
roll pins
in them. Correct, thank you. And when you're adjusting the flipper, it's really easy just to take toothpicks and put them in those holes, and then so that when they're loose, the flipper doesn't drop all the way down to like here. Just drop some toothpicks in.
We're going to switch here again and just really quickly cover some sources of information on where you can find pinball machines, where you can find repair guides, etc. So, and I'm going to apologize up front if we've left anybody off. I'm sorry. We only had so much room here. But let's go through these really quick. Where to find information on pinball machines. These are some of the big ones. And As I started this presentation with, I'm sure that a lot of you guys are already familiar with some of these sites, but for those of you who are new, these are some of the sites that we use to find information on games. So there's the Internet Pinball Database, Mr. Pinball. You can go to the news groups and the Pin Game Journal. If you've got the game, you're trying to figure out how to make it work, these are some of the places to go to really get started, especially with the electronics. Pinball HQ, which is Clay's site, has a lot of useful information. Tells you step by step with pictures how to fix things. TX Pinball has some great guides on it.
And then there's also pinball news. There is also obviously here a strong pinball community. So if you're stuck on something, feel free to ask and you know, find someone in your area who can help you out. Here are some sources for parts. As Pat mentioned, DigiKey Electronics will have a lot of the electronic parts that you'd need to repair your pinball machine. Most of the others are specific to pinball parts, and most everyone here has a website. You can look them up on the web. If you're looking for games, eBay is not recommended. If possible, you really want to be able to see what you're buying. You really should be able to see it, really get a look at it before you pay for it. Sometimes that's not always possible. So, Mr. Pinball, the advantage here is that usually the machines are being sold by somebody who's in the pinball business, so you can feel comfortable that they at least know what they're talking about. Hopefully, there's a number of different sites here to find pinballs. We're just saying, a lot of it is buyer beware. And then, did you want to cover some of the advanced?
Sure. How much time do we have?
10 minutes.
Okay. These are a little more advanced topics. We would say that, you know, if you just bought a game from Stern Pinball, like a Pirates of the Caribbean, you probably won't need to do, you know, this type of work. hopefully. Mylar removal. There's various methods to remove the Mylar off of the game. The method that I like the most is the freeze spray method, where you can basically, you know, go to like an Office Max or an Office Supply store and buy the compressed air cans, and you turn it upside down and you basically spray it onto the Mylar. And what that'll do is basically freeze the Mylar itself. And then at that point, it's a lot easier to pull the Mylar up off the play field. Some people like to use the heat gun method, and that's a little trickier because, you know, if the heat is on the play field too long, you can start, you know, doing damage that way. But more importantly, when you do it that way, the residue is a lot harder to get off of the machine because it gets all gummy and all gooey. And at that point, you'll need to use a lot of alcohol and a goof off to remove the Mylar. Side rail removal. With side rails, it's actually not as hard as people think it is to remove the side rails. On a game that's a decaled cabinet, it can be a little trickier in that once the decal starts lifting, it could pull a lot more than the new side rail can cover. So some people will actually take a razor blade and cut along the inside edge of the side rail. That way, if it does start lifting, it'll stop at the point where you cut the decal. I usually like to use a chisel, and I start at the lock bar edge. You remove that little bolt, and you basically work from that point towards the back box. And I actually don't even use a heat gun on it. I just sort of gently tap it, go about an inch and a half, 2 inches at a time. And once you get the first inch and a half, 2 inches off, then I'll use like a putty knife, and I'll put that in place, and I'll just start moving the two tools up along until I hit the back box.
Pat, you know what else you can do? You can take your putty knife and you can sharpen it, like on a belt sander. You should actually sharpen the putty knife so it's actually becomes a chisel and a putty knife all at the same time.
Okay.
You know, that makes it a little.
But what if you like bring home both of them then?
Yeah.
Should we do question and answer at this point?
If there's questions, otherwise.
Okay.
I'd like to add two things. You mentioned all those links. Most of them are at pinbeat.com when it's in the ones that I missed are going to be there. There's going to be like 400 or 500 links. There's already a couple that have been online for 11 years. And the other thing I want to mention is, I know other people have been doing this, that if you don't go in the head of the game, then you're not going to know when to change the batteries. What I found works for an idiot like me is like, let's say you're peering into a World Cup and you gotta know when to change the batteries. When you open the coin door, you got an Avery label sitting there, you know, in your face saying batteries change 82206. So you can bet I forgot to change the batteries, you know, otherwise.
I actually use a simpler method, because that way you don't need to write anything down. Is the day before on Christmas, I just go downstairs and change all the batteries in my games. It's sort of like their little Christmas present. That's the easiest way I remember.
You change your smoke alarm batteries on Christmas. You do it all the same.
Right.
Yeah. You want the cheap method?
Sure, what's a cheap method, Clay?
Okay, I put remotes in all my remote battery packs in all my games, and what I do is I go to bgmicro.com, and they sell these four-position AA battery holders for 50 cents, a big 50 cents. Okay, I buy like a million of them. And then in the fourth position, I put a diode. Now, the reason why I put a diode, it's a blocking diode. You don't need it, but what it does is it lowers the battery voltage about a half a volt, okay, the collective battery voltage of all three batteries, a half a volt. So what happens is that I never change my batteries until the game complains that it is, you know, restore factory settings. And what happens, because the voltage is actually just a half volt away from killing the batteries, they die before they leak, you know, or the game thinks they die before they leak. And then that way, because I've got like 30 games, 30 times 3 times 50 cents a battery, that's more money than I want to spend every year at Christmas. So, you know, that's what I do. And then if they do leak by chance, only thing I've ruined is a 50 cents external battery holder. So it's win-win for me. And I am really cheap, thank you.
Oh, go ahead, you've got a question.
Just real quick, Mr. early on in the presentation, you mentioned about using the Novus on the Playboy machine. It looked like it cleaned up pretty good. And I was wondering if there's several other products that have petroleum based things like Mills Wax and stuff that people use on 70s and basically games before the 90s. Do you prefer the Novus and alcohol method over the Mills Wax and those kind of products?
I personally do.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Can I weigh in?
Sure. Millwax blows. The worst thing about Millwax is it smells. It literally hurts my eyes. And also when it gets on my hands, it hurts my skin. That stuff just sucks beyond belief. And it's not a wax. It says wax in the name. It's not a wax. It's basically the same thing as Novus 2. Just it's a smellier, shitty version of it. That's my opinion. But, you know, as Steve Young would say, this is a Ford versus Chevy type argument. So, but, I don't know, Ford sucks, I guess.
Just go ahead.
I wonder if you have any suggestions for playfield inserts that become a dish when you start grabbing the ball and affecting the play.
Do you mean like on the older games where there's actually a curvature on there?
Yeah, I guess they get hot in the same game a little bit. Cool.
Clay? We really, that's more like, you know, really advanced stuff.
Yeah.
That might be in like Pinball 201.
Yeah, you're going to see this mostly on 50s games and maybe to some extent on 60s. Pat does solid state stuff, so he probably hasn't had to deal with this too often. Cupped inserts are kind of tricky. What I do is I take a socket, like, you know, you got a socket set for, you know, 3/8 inch socket set. I find the right size socket that fits the insert from underneath the play field. I put it, you know, remove the lamp, obviously, and then put the socket in place and tap the insert out with a rubber mallet or whatever. Once you got the thing out, if there's no graphic on it, you're in luck. You can just take it to a flat sander and actually sand the thing flat and put it back in, and you're good to go. Now, if there's a graphic on it, you really can't do that unless you want to replace the graphic, you know, like if there's a number or whatever on the insert. In that case, I like to use water thin super glue with the insert out, and since the thing's cupped, you can put really, really thin layers of water thin super glue, and you can even accelerate it if you want, if you're really in a hurry. And you can build it up so that, you know, you have, instead of a concave, you have a convex insert, And then after you do that, then you take it to the belt sander and flatten it out, and that'll save your graphic and the cupped insert, and then just reinsert it and re-glue, and then you're good to go. Polish with Novus 2 and all that kind of stuff.
Thanks again, Clay.
Well, thanks very much. We're going to go ahead and break for lunch, but if you have questions for us, please feel free to come on up and ask us.
We have time for two more questions, and then we have a final presentation.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about having the bubbles underneath the Mylar. Is there anything you can do with that besides removing it?
If you have bubbles underneath the Mylar, what you can do is you can actually poke the bubble with a pin and get super glue inside there and then press it down so it'll actually essentially glue that Mylar back down to the surface. One last question. Yes, sir. So you go to PetSmart. What is it you're buying there? The
walnut.
Oh, the walnut, the crushed walnut.
Carrots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the suggestion there is if you go to a PetSmart or pet store, you can get the crushed walnuts in the bird section. It's a bird cage liner.
Get one of those green African birds too.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.